Blog Talk Radio.
We have late breaking news that we're going to open this show with. It's just been announced that Mike Savage has been banned from England.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, baby. Oh, I love you so. 16 candles make a lovely light. But night has
started off to play A Nation Once Again, which is an Irish tune, but if you take out the country Ireland, you could sing it in this country today, when freedom's fire was in my blood. It's a song about unity, which is one of the ingredients that made us great, and that we have no longer. I see more ads for Spanish lessons than I see ads for English lessons. I have no qualms with people who speak Spanish, not at all. As a matter of fact, I get a kick out of the Latinos, the Mexicans, who all curse the Spaniards for exploiting them. When the conquistadors came through the Americas and filched everybody of gold, silver, esmeraldos, and they despised them for what they did. And then I say, oh, what language you speak? And they say, Spanish. Yeah, how's that, huh? And all those missionaries who converted and taught those children is Spanish. And that's why Spanish, why do you think Spanish is a very dominant language throughout the world? It's because they had to say their prayers in Spanish. Yes, they were all oppressed. Man has been oppressed since the beginning of time. And you know something? There are slaves, and there have been slaves, that were freer than some of the people who think they are free today. If you own a man for $80 a month, he is your slave. And in the very rich countries, sometimes that's all they'll pay a human being. And if, don't challenge me on it, because I'm a first-hand witness to where it took place and is taking place. I know countries that go shopping in poor countries for slaves, and they lure them to their country to be their slave, and they pay them $80 a month. And do you know what the slaves do? They live on 20 and send 60 home for their retirement. Yes, yes, you can see that in Kuwait. You can see Bangladeshis and Indians. Filipinos is a little higher price. But the Filipinos do not fare too much better unless they're working for American companies. And we owe the Filipino people a debt of gratitude from World War II. And we never paid them back. It's time we made them the 51st state. And you know what? They'd be a lot more grateful than Hawaii. Yeah. Okay. So welcome to the Spirit of America Party, the Spirit of America Party, Spirit of America Party book, and the radio show. And I'm going to jump to another tune while I set up to read some blogs that caught my eye today, and I'll share them with you. And we'll give you a little of Brazilian music, who Brazil was enslaved by the Portuguese. And they're the only South American country that does not speak Spanish. Unbelievable. And I know people who are going to school now that are Portuguese-speaking Brazilian. And guess what language they're taking in school? Spanish. Yes. You know what I say? You press 1 for Tico Tico. Press 18 for English. Here's a bumbacato.
Como um bumbacado pra te devorar, como um brigadeiro pra te lambuzar.
fantastic. Isn't that a nice sound? You hear all of the musical instruments in the band? Fantastic. Piano player, marimba player, violins, a full orchestra. You go to a concert, you pay $200, they don't even give you a chair to sit in. You stand up there like a herd of cattle. A guy comes out, five guys come out, they all got guitars. They have no shirts, and they vomit on stage, set fire to the stage, break their guitars, and everybody goes, "Give us more! We love you!" Girls cry. Sickening, absolutely sickening. Do you know if you had long hair when I was a young man, there was something wrong with you? Oh, you couldn't have hair over 1 inch. Yeah, unbelievable. And the only guys that had tattoos were Marines and paratroopers and sailors who got drunk. Yeah, and woke up with a tattoo. Well, I'll give you a joke, being that we're talking about military guys. This girl is in a Central Park. She's sitting on a bench. She's on her lunch break. She's taking in a beautiful day. And all of a sudden, she hears a voice saying, "Oh, what I would give to be a corporal in the Marine Corps again." And as she looks around, she sees nobody. And once again, a voice says, "Oh, what I'd give to be a corporal in the Marine Corps again." She looks around. She still sees nobody. She looks down, and a frog is looking up at her. And the frog says, "Yes, I used to be a Marine, a corporal. I was in Iwo Jima. I was in Okinawa. I fought in all of the island-hopping wars. And I was on an island, and a wicked witch put a curse on me. And now I'll always be a frog unless some kind woman takes pity on me and puts me under her pillow." So she felt so sad for the frog. She picked him up. She put him in her purse. And she took the frog home. And the next morning, her mother came into her bedroom, and she found her in bed with the corporal and the Marines, and she don't believe that story either. Oh, so welcome to the Spirit of America party. We got some blogs we're going to read to you. Oh, let's see what happened here. I was, you know, when your computer goes to sleep? Here we go. I just caught Stuart Varney, and I'll share this with you. He was on Sean Hannity, and everybody's debating, should we go "Is You Is" or "Is You Ain't My Baby"? Should we go to Syria or not? And everybody is arguing, and I love the strategists, man, and all the military experts. There is nobody there. There's nobody there that could get out of a schoolroom fire. Unbelievable, because they didn't do the drill. It's unbelievable. All the experts. I never saw so many experts. Not if John McCain came back today and he said, "Salam alaikum." No, what is it? Allahu Akbar. It's just a prayer to God. Yes. He's right. Allahu Akbar. God is great. You know what my slogan is? New York, super duper Akbar. Yeah. So they're debating, and Stuart Varney's on, and Stuart Varney is more American than half of the people that he comes up against who claim to be Americans. I saw Stuart Varney, they were talking about the price of oil about a year ago, and no, it was when Bush was not in power, because he was just president. Obama is in power. When Bush was president, and this international jerk, with a foreign accent, says to Varney that the price of oil is all Bush's fault because of he went to Iraq. And Varney went ballistic on the guy. He worked him over, and he had a lot of dirt on the guy, and he brought it all out, like he's a member of the Communist Party, belongs to the Islamo-Fascist Party. Yeah. Barney defended America. He should have got the American Victoria Cross. But tonight, Barney gets a challenge coin from the Spirit of America Party. I have a challenge coin. On one side of the coin, it says, it's got an eagle, got a tough-looking eagle, and it says, and it is, it's on a square of an American flag, and it's, and above the on the edges, it says, "Nothing outperforms American." And I took that because when I was in Kuwait right after the war, and when I say right after the war, when I flew in on a CIA plane for business people, and with no return a ticket. And the airport, when I got there, the airport was still smoldering. And when I got to the Meridian Hotel, the only way you could get up to your room was through the baggage elevator, a small, like, dumbwaiter elevator to get up to the second floor, because the first floor and the main floor were bombed out. And I got pictures that blow your mind. And then I got a room in the Meridian, which is one of the best hotels in Kuwait. It only had one fax machine and no phones. Because when Saddam came into Kuwait, if you were caught with a fax machine, you were executed on the spot. Imagine all the executions that would take place here. Yeah. You would kill more people than if you did marijuana arrests. But anyway, so there we were in Kuwait, and I was at a trade show, and what had happened was the Commerce Department, which is totally useless. I mean, if you ever want to get left on the battlefield like LBJ did to the non-vets, and the Democrat Party did, if you ever want to get abandoned, all you got to do is go work with the Department of Commerce. They flew us in, okay, and it was a booth was $6,000, and I had $5.99 and a coupon. And they told me, they said, whatever you bring, you'll only pay freight $1 a pound. So you know what I brought? I brought 1,200 pounds of catalogs. Because I didn't know what was there, what they needed. So I'm in the automotive aftermarket, and I contacted, this is no lie, I contacted, I'm going to say 3,000 small American manufacturers. No, I contacted 1,200 small American manufacturers. And I told them, I said, I'm going there, and if you want to get your product exposed, I'm going to be at a trade show, and we can work out something, you know, a small commission or whatever. And so I brought a 1,200 pounds of catalogs, and the Commerce Department said, it'll only cost you $1 a pound. And they said, whatever you bring, you will sell. And I was thinking of a crankshaft grinder that probably weighs maybe 24,000 pounds. And imagine if I didn't sell it and I had a cart at home. And that's what happens. You want to get rid of all your stuff, and the Arabs know it, so they wait till the last day. It's like going to a flea market. They wait till the last day to buy it for nothing. But the Emir of Kuwait had told the Kuwaitis, because we just gave them their country back, to buy anything made in the USA. Buy it. So we had a good shot. And what had happened was the Commerce Department had found out that the Brits, okay, were stealing the Victory Thunder. And they were coming, they were already on the water with a British trade ship loaded with goods. So the Department of Commerce had to scramble, and so they quickly put this trade show together. It was called not Made in the USA, but something along those lines, if you wanted to come, you could get on this plane. So everybody had to scramble at the last minute. And I went out to a lot of guys, and they said, you want to come? You know, let's go. And they said, oh, yeah, I'll be there. You know what happens on those promises, right? So when I got on the plane, it was me and my 1,200 pounds of catalogs. And we landed Kuwait Airport. And then I'm told, if you want the catalogs to go from the airport to the hotel, it's another $1,200. In the meantime, people, when I was still in the office at home in the USA, the land of the round doorknob, by the way, if you want to distinguish yourself from other countries, we're the only ones that have round doorknobs. I'm getting phone calls from executives from other companies. And one guy calls me and he goes, how did you get an invitation? I said, it was easy. He says, what do you mean easy? I said, they were giving them out on the street corner. You know, how did you? So anyway, I land in Kuwait and I got a call home. The freight company called my wife and said that he can't get the freight into the hotel unless you send another $1,200. So here I'm already getting ripped off. So we get to the hotel, and that night we set up booths. Everybody's got a booth. I think I was booth 73. And right opposite me is a CNN. They have a room. And the show opens up, and I'm probably the only small business guy there. There's me and a husband and wife that was selling pillows. So all I had was my catalogs hanging, you know, on a rack, and I was covered in catalogs. So the show opens up, and the Kuwaitis come in. And one of the things I had was that I hung up with the catalogs were, you know, the sun blockers that you put in the window. You put in the window of your car. Well, a whole bunch of young kids came through and they took them all. that was like my sample. They took all my samples. That was the first raid. But anyway, here's what happened. GM was there. Chrysler was there. Ford was there. The guy next to me in the booth next to me was from a big chiller company, and the people started coming through, and all of a sudden all these Kuwaitis came into my side of the booth. They all sat down. They started reading the catalogs. They were sitting down like they were in a tent. And we hit the press. We made the front page of whatever a business journal wasn't the Wall Street Journal, but it was something else. And you know, and it said local businessman does good. You know, and of course, and the CNN guy was a real worm. And he would come out and he'd go, you got anything for me? You got anything, you know, how many sales have you made? And he was a real Ratso Rizzo. But it turned out that we got good publicity from the show. And as a result of the show, I formed a partnership with a Kuwaiti family. And we opened up the Kuwait American Trading Company down on in Shuaik, which is like where all the business is done in Kuwait. And we were the largest stockholder in the company was a woman. We had 100 shares, and we just did it up so that a woman had the largest number. She had 26. I had 24, and there was a father and a son. They had 25 each. And so we played that angle, you know. And so we opened up a store there, and then I went home to start filling orders. And we made some good connections. But the sad thing about Kuwaitis is they don't know how to work. They only know how to take in money. And they don't need Mickey Mouse, nickel and dime stuff. You know, like this, the partner we had, he was getting royalties from oil 24 hours a day. And they have a lot of money. And the Kuwaiti government treats all their Kuwaitis like kings. They back then, I was there in 93, gas was 11 cents a gallon. And not only that, but the telephone was free. If you were getting married, you got a wedding gift. I think the wedding gift at that time was $100,000. And for every kid you had, you got $15,000. And they would give you a deposit to buy a house. And they would give you a mortgage for the house. And after about 4 years of payments, they would forgive the debt. They had future generations funds. They had 2 million Kuwaitis. Think about it. All the oil money that goes to them. They have future generations funds. They have socialized medicine. Everything is paid for. You don't pay for anything in medicine. And I told you the telephone is free. There was something else that was a big benefit. But so they have it made, and yet they complain. You know the old saying: two loaves of bread under each arm. And they complain, or they stand in the bread line and demand toast. They complain. But they don't tip. As a matter of fact, at the airport, when I was going back to the States, my partner came with me, and the guy took the bags out of the cab, and I reached in my pocket to give him money. And I gave him money, and the partner got disgusted. He said, "Mr. Tom, you don't do that. You're starting something here." Right? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But anyway, what was my point? I forget. I'll give you a tune, and I'll recollect my thoughts. And when I come back, we'll talk some more. And let me see if I can give you... I'll give you another Brazilian. This is on Vibes by a guy named Cal Jada. And a tremendous vibe player. Fantastic. He's up in heaven now. Thank you. Okay, I recall what I was talking about. We started talking about slavery and how there are financial slaves. In this country, there are more slaves today than ever, than even at the time of slavery. And you know who the master is? Drugs. One out of five Americans is a junkie. Drugs makes you a slave. And where are all the slave holding pens? You know where they are. They're in bad neighborhoods. And why are they bad neighborhoods? Because of drugs. So, having said that, and I don't want to get too sardonic, I am going to tell you I was watching Stuart Varney, and he was on Sean Hannity's show. And they got into a debate because... And Sean got annoyed. His eyes got real black. And because Varney said that we should go into Syria because we stand for not killing children. But Varney hasn't seen the casualty count that comes out of Planned Parenthood every day at 3,000 children, 1,200 white, 1,100 black, 700 Latino niños. That's only Planned Slaughterhood. There's 1,700 other babies that are killed every day. Now, tell me that's not genocide. Huh? What is that? Survival of the fittest? So... they got into a big tiff, and Varney said, we got to go for the moral issue. And so I sent them both an email that says, Stuart Varney, you were right, and Sean was imperfect. The American creed is the strong must always protect the weak, especially children, born or unborn. If we stick to that creed, we would be a perfect union. We would be a perfect union because injustice would be destroyed immediately. So then I suggested they go to YouTube and see my video, Save the Kids. Then I said, no one must be allowed to intimidate children, and be it a jihad imam or a fourth-grade tenured public school teacher in Minnesota teaching masturbation. And then I told Varney, you stood for freedom over party. Sean is wrong. My solution, they're worried about, well, if we kill Assad, then who's a bad guy, and we know he's a bad guy, then the Al-Qaeda is going to take over, and that's even worse. And I say the solution is to kill both sides. And then I signed off in New York, a super duper wakba, and 911, and we forget nothing. My challenge coin that I told you about, One Nation Under God, the American Eagle, and then the Spirit of America Party .com is on my challenge coin. And when you turn it over, one plane, there's a smoking two towers, and one plane is going in to finish off the second tower. And up on the top it says 911, we forget nothing, NUTTIN. That's in New Yorkese. And on the bottom it says, we support the troops wherever they are. And all the S's are dollar signs. Because I believe the more you pay them, the less they'll have to go. If Congress says, who introduced this law that we got to pay $5 million for every KIA? We can't afford that. Well, you know what? Pay the ones you killed, and we won't go no more. We can't afford it. Besides, JDAMs are only $650,000 apiece. So, look, we're saving money. So... And then I gave him a radio show archive to take a look at, which debates all of the going or not going. And my logo, Welcome to the Spirit of America Party, my book. And I have a copy of the challenge coins. They're challenge coins. And you know what a challenge coin is? If you're not in the military, you probably would never hear it. And never forget, only 1% of the country fights for it. Everybody else tells them how to do it. Yeah, well, God help us, man. A challenge coin is given as a gesture of a mission accomplished, or a good deed accomplished, or a task accomplished. And when a commanding officer wants to reward his men for a job well done, he gives them a challenge coin. And then at bar time, as somebody will say, whoever doesn't have his challenge coin has to buy, and everybody produces the coin. So basically, that's what it's for. And Varney is right. Varney is right. And I know it's, I know why everybody's uptight, because we don't have a good crew. We have a, all the good men have been, are gone. But you know what? I got to tell you something about Bashar al-Assad and the 41 Democrats who flew in with Nancy Pelosi when Bush asked them not to go to lick his ankles. And they went there and they had their pictures taken with them. And there's now a picture around the internet and floating where John Kerry and his wife 3 months ago were having dinner with Bashar al-Assad, and now Kerry says kill him. Why, he didn't pay the bill? Yeah, unbelievable. What, he sent the wine back? Unbelievable. So what else we got here? Let me see. Forgotten Obama scandal. What, you're kidding me? A forgotten Obama scandal? Yeah, oh, you know where they found this? In the Indian Yellow Pages. Let's see what it says. The Indian Yellow Pages. In Urdu. Or in Hindi, I'm sorry, in Hindi. Forgotten Obama scandal now grounds to oust him. I got to tell you, I was against going near Obama for anything, because I believed it would be it would all be turned into a big racial issue, and then that we would be threatened with race riots in all of the cities that the communists control. But then you know what I said? The country is more important than all the race riots that will take place in this country. Because we got to know how sick we are as a nation. We don't want to take an aspirin for cancer. We have to know what's going on. So here's what, this is World News Daily. Let's see, under Barack Obama, the IRS targeted conservatives and Christians with harassment. Dozens of czars were appointed. Arizona was sued for trying to enforce federal immigration laws. The government refused to enforce the Defense of Marriage Act, and the National Security Agency spied on Americans. No wonder more conservative Americans already have been wondering why Obama is allowed to get away with such antics, and whether impeachment might not be the solution the founders ordered. Not only the worry is spreading, with the new poll showing most American voters believe there are multiple grounds for Obama's impeachment. The National Telephone Survey of Registered Voters by Wenzel Strategies was done August the 23rd to the 28th with a margin of error of 3.67% percentage points. It was revealed that under Obama's watch, the Internal Revenue Service targeted conservatives. When I seen that evil woman take the Fifth Amendment like she was a mafia don, I said to myself, they rule with arrogance. So they targeted
conservatives with harassment that curbed their influence during the 2012 election, which Obama won. Asked whether Obama should be impeached for the IRS abuses, more than 55% said yes, including 1 in 4 Democrats. More than 8 in 10 Republicans agreed, as well as half of the independents. Pollster Fritz Wenzel explained to WND, a strong majority of 55% said Obama should be impeached for the behavior of his Internal Revenue Service and its treatment of conservative groups seeking nonprofit status. And I got to tell you, he should be impeached for making Marines carry umbrellas. That was deliberate, and that was an F you America for its aggressive auditing of conservative and religious organizations. Just 38% opposed impeachment, making this the most toxic of all current scandals. And I'm going to tell you something, the threat of riots in all the cities, if it comes down to this guy is no good and he's bad for the country, it's not going to stop the impeachment. It's not going to stop it. We are Americans, man. We take no cagada de toro. Yeah, that's right. Just because the sleeping giant is napping, that doesn't mean that one day he's going to get ticked off. And there's nothing more dangerous in the world than a ticked off American. So, having said that, let me, they kicked me out of that story. We'll go to another one. And maybe we'll give you a tune while I'm looking. How we will win and the liberals will lose. Yeah, pipe dreams, buddy, pipe dreams. You got to go to combat. And 25 more bites out of your liberties. Boehner backs Obama, calls for a military strike on Syria. You remember Hillary Clinton's famous quote, "We came, we saw, we killed him," right? And you saw pictures of Muammar Gaddafi being punched in the face and kicked and eventually sodomized with rods. And Hillary joked about it with her two girlfriends. "We came, we saw, we killed him." And it was a big joke. They went to Libya to buy time for Syria because the Democrats' headquarters is in Damascus. 41 Democrats rode in to Damascus with Nancy Pelosi and a plane full of booze, and they don't have pink Catawba on that plane. They have nothing but the best. And before Saddam was, while he was still in power, 3 Democrats went to see Saddam to see if they could get some money. You know, some spending money. And they were Banya, Thompson, and McDermott. They were all a Congress mice. And Saddam wouldn't see them. Right? But you know all 3 of those names that I just gave you? Do you know that 55 days before 9/11 they voted to burn the flag? Yeah. I wonder how many communists are in the Congress and the Senate. If Joe McCarthy was here, he'd probably have a phone book size list. Boehner backs Obama, calls for a military strike. Boehner worries me. He's one of those guys that says, "I got it under control. I got these guys under control. I can handle whatever they, I can outwit them on whatever they're trying to do." So, what was I saying? 25 more bites out of your liberties. Let's see what this guy says. If he's got the 25 listed, I'll give them to you. He's got a speech. We'll pass on that. We will pass on that. Let me give you a tune and I'll do some searching. We gave you a couple of Brazilian ones. I'm going to give you another Brazilian one. I call it Brazilian, but it's actually Prez Prado. And it's probably Prez Prado, I think, is either Mexican or Cuban. And I call this one Brazilian Soft Shoe.
Back. This one caught my eye. I'll share it with you.
This is from Patriot Update. The highest court in the state of Massachusetts will begin hearing a case where the Pledge of Allegiance itself is on trial. An anonymous atheist couple, whatever happened to the right to face your accusers? An anonymous atheist couple has brought suit against the state for the mandatory recitation. I'm turning the lights out on me here. Of the Pledge of Allegiance. The focus of the lawsuit is the simple phrase under God, which despite years of use, and it was put in the 50s by guys that were the greatest generation. Just remember that. And they knew that this day was coming when some communist rat, an atheist and a communist, there's no difference. They're one and the same. And some communist rat, they call themselves atheists, would try to eliminate God like they did in the Soviet Union. Can you imagine maybe two generations or three generations of Russians that never had access to God? What kind of moral fiber do they have? Do they murder with a conscience, which despite years of use continues to offend the eminently offendable atheists. The Supreme Court of Massachusetts will consider Doe versus Action, Boxborough Regional School District on Wednesday. The communists always target underfunded schools to get them to remove any signs of Christ. Any signs of religion, knowing they don't have the funds to fight back. So rather than face lawsuit and penalties, they give in. Their verdict will rule on whether or not the required recitation of the pledge violates the rights of students. In the past, plaintiffs have attacked the phrase under God as Christians in an effort to remove the pledge from our schools. This time around, the legal team representing the plaintiffs will argue the compulsory recitation of the pledge represents an attack on the state's equal rights laws, which guarantees equal protection for everyone under those laws. This is very similar to the route the gay marriage supporters recently used in a similarly successful case argued before the Massachusetts Supreme Court. And in Massachusetts, look what they send to represent the state, Kennedys and Kerrys. And it probably doesn't, that school doesn't have a Pope's chance in hell. But if you go to my Spirit of America Party radio show on Blog Talk Radio, and you go to the archives, I got one radio show up there. It's called The Meddlesomes, and it's a routine where a husband and a wife, they meddle in everybody's affairs, like the guy next door, his flag is 1 centimeter too big, and they report him to the housing association. And sadly, I mentioned it the other night, a guy I know, he's a veteran and a real staunch American. I mean, he would die fighting no matter how old he was. And he is. And he's in a city co-op, and they just told him to take his American flag off the windowsill. He can't have an American flag out at the window. And this guy's a fighter. He would die before he would give in, and he gave in. And I said, "Why did you do it?" And he goes, "Because they'll take my parking spot away." How's that? How's that, man? This is they're even breaking the old vets. It is really sad. It is really sad. They get you when you're weak. They're afraid of you when you're strong. But when you're weak, they'll come in and finish you off like mongrels, like jackals. But I'll give you a little cheering up. I have 2 grandchildren, and I told this story before. One is 6, a boy. One is 4, a girl. And they live in a very happily with their parents, who are 2 different religions. And the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the mother has put them in Catholic preschool. And the 6-year-old has just left a Catholic preschool, and he's now going to public school, a very good public school. The area is predominantly pro-American, and people who are concerned for their children. So the boy is now in public school. Now, the 4-year-old is still in Catholic preschool. And every night at supper time, she leads the grace before meals. So, as usual, she leads the grace before meals. And when she's finished, her brother says to her, "You won't be saying that when you get into kindergarten." And I said to the brother, "Why do you say that?" He says, "Because I've been there for 89 days and they haven't said one prayer yet out of the mouths of babes." Listen to the clearness of that mind. What happens to them when the government gets them? So I'm concerned now. And the next time we're down there, and the girl says grace before meals, I say to the boy, "Do they say the Pledge of Allegiance in your class?" And he sticks his chest out and he says, "Yes, we do." And I says, "Let me hear you say it."
And he says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible. He pauses to catch his breath, and his little sister says, and deliver us from evil. Amen. Does that get you or what? Out of the mouths of babes. Freedom is hard to suppress. Once you've tasted it, it's hard to take it away. But if you never knew what you lost, you'll never miss it. And that's a sad thing.
Let me give you a depression song in case we go into another one.
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower to the sun, brick, mortar and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Hey, don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al, Al all the time. Say, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a railroad, I made it run, and I made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Hey, brother, ain't got a dime about you, have you? And once I built a tower, yes, a tower to the sun, of brick, mortar, and lime. Yes, I'm the fella built the tower, and now it's done. Hey, buddy, ain't got a dime about you, have you? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell, full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Say, don't you remember? Don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al, Al all the time. Don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime?
Okay. I just caught this. I'm a little disappointed. I'm going to read it to you. When I first listened to Sean Hannity, somebody had called in and was talking about idols. You know, this guy's my idol. And Sean Hannity cautioned the caller not to put your faith in idols because they will disappoint you. And Tim Tebow will tell you which idol to put your faith in that won't disappoint you. And because of that, Tim Tebow was hated. Did you ever see so many people hate a football player because he loves God? It's unbelievable. It's really sickening, man. We are. One day, Lot is going to be with the Lord. Abraham is going to be with the Lord. And he's going to say, should we spare the United States if we find 10 good people? We're in trouble. But this is the one that's a heartbreaker. Ross Perot was my hero. When Jimmy Carter couldn't do anything about the hostages in Iran, when Jimmy Carter pulled in Obama and just let things fizzle, a guy named Ross Perot had people that worked for him that were in a prison in Iran. They went into his company, his offices in Tehran. They arrested all the employees and they put them in prison. And Ross Perot, Jimmy Carter, couldn't get anybody. He had one failed operation and he was afraid to ever try again. Ross Perot went into those prisons and opened the gates, opened the doors, and brought those people out to freedom. And for that, I admired Ross Perot ad infinitum. He was my hero. He was a I-can-do-it guy. But now I'm reading Ross Perot Foundation donates $1 million to scandal-hit Planned Parenthood. The Ross Perot Foundation has provided $1 million gift to Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast in Texas following the abortion giant's payment of $4.3 million for a settlement in a Medicaid fraud case. According to Stephen Ertelt at Life News, the foundation associated with billionaire businessman Perot announced a $1 million donation last week. That's bounty money to kill black children. 1,100 a day. That's bounty money to kill white children. 1,200 a day. That's bounty money to kill Latino niños, 700 a day. I saw a picture of a Latino girl who had been aborted. She was beautiful. She looked like she was asleep. She had hair at least 2 inches thick on her head. She was beautiful. I called her Linda Mujer. Beautiful lady. She will never get a rose from a lover. Her smile will never light up a room. Somebody threw her away. So in a statement through Planned Parenthood, Margaret Perot said, for nearly 100 years, Planned Parenthood has helped to educate men and women regarding family planning and general family health. Our family has supported this nonprofit for many years because we are impressed with the work they do. Oh, why don't you go up to Philadelphia and ask for Kermit the Frog. Yeah, he's doing time right now, providing birth control, scientifically based education, breast health exams. They don't do breast health exams. They'll tell you. Go get your breast checked somewhere else. We're here on the assembly line. We got to get rid of these kids. The basic life-saving health care for women who cannot afford services otherwise. You should have to stand and have your picture taken in front of the Daily Body Pile. Have your picture taken in front of 4,700 buckets. On July the 24th, the Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott announced that his office had obtained a $1.4 million settlement against the Planned Parenthood because they're ripping off the taxpayer. And the total settlement to the Houston Chronicle was $4.3 million. Oh, according to the Houston Chronicle. The settlement would be split among the state of Texas, the federal government, and the whistleblower who uncovered the fraud. Oh, Ross, you let me down, buddy. You know what you're going to have to do? And if you haven't done it already, you're going to have to stand trial. There's going to be a Nuremberg trial for you, Ross. Your money, Oh, you know how God hates the rich. What's that saying? Through the eye of a needle. You're in trouble, Ross. You did the wrong thing. Cherubim and seraphim will testify against you. Let me give you another tune. Let's see what we got here. Oh, I played her the other night. She's very good. We'll give you Ciao Ciao Bambina. It's in German.
Hörst du das Rauschen der Bäume im Wind? Der Himmel weint Tränen um unsere Liebe. Abschied von dir und von der Liebe. Es regnet auf unser Glück. Ciao, ciao, Bambina, du darfst nicht weinen, für dich wird wieder die Sonne scheinen. In all den Jahren wirst du erfahren, dass man aus Liebe sich selbst belügt. Ciao, ciao, Bambina, dein Herz ist frei. Die schönen Stunden sind nun vorbei. Es ist zu Ende.
United States Justice Foundation. Egyptian media says Barack Obama is Muslim Brotherhood member. The director of research at the Brookings Doha Center, Doha is in Qatar, which owns Al Jazeera Radio, Al Jazeera TV, which is now wiping out CNN. Yeah. Shadi Hamid tweets out about the Egyptian media depicting Obama as a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Newspaper also claims that the son of a Muslim Brotherhood leader threatened Obama with release of papers revealing his Muslim Brotherhood membership. Well, that's all it says. And then there is a poll. Do you think Bin Laden covered up Benghazi? He sure did. And you know what? He killed the last two guys alive. He sure did. It's the first time in American history we didn't even make a half-ass attempt to rescue anybody. The first time. Well, this is the New World Order, and we're living proof. We're all in trouble. I'm going to give you another tune, and this one's called Coming Home. And wait until the military walks off the battlefield. You know what disturbs me? Coincidences. this Private Manning, who wants a sex change operation and changing his name to Chelsea Clinton, that bothers me. And the lawyer for the KGB agent, Snowden, in Moscow, he's gay, and that bothers me. Two gays and two working with the enemy of people. Now, you know that the KGB has schools of compromise, where they know how to get to somebody. When I was growing up, there was only a certain element of people that were allowed in the FBI. They had to meet certain qualifications, and gay wasn't one of them, because they were too easily compromised, according to the people at the time. So, you know, there are KGB agents who know how to compromise a gay guy.
who know how to compromise a sex addict, who know how to compromise a drug addict. Okay? You got to be a Boy Scout almost if you're working for the protection of the United States. And it just bothers me a little bit. And I also believe that Snowden did not work alone. It was rumored about 8-9 years ago that the number two man in the FBI was a KGB agent of 20 years service to the KGB, the number two man in the FBI. That was the rumor. And do you know how they caught him? He was retiring. He put in his pension for the KGB, and they gave him up to the Americans. You can't trust those Russians, man. You can't trust them. They know how to kill both sides. There used to be a story about a guy named Imran Nagy. I think he was either from Hungary or Czechoslovakia. He was running against a communist in that country for high office. And the joke goes, there are three guys in jail. And one guy says to the other guy, "Hey, comrade, what are you here for?" He says, "I opposed Imran Nagy." And he turns to the other guy and he says, "What are you in jail for?" He says, "I defended Imran Nagy." And he turns to the third guy and he says, "What are you in jail for?" He says, "I'm Imran Nagy." All right. Good one, right? Sure is a good one. Okay, let's see what this story says. 5,000 revolutionaries to study abroad. And this is a Libyan business news paper. So let me see what it says. I was telling you about that the Kuwaitis, you know, they have a dollar figure for everybody that they own. And they also have dynasties that, you know, elements, people that work for them. Like at one time it was a Pakistani dynasty. And just before the Gulf War, all the employees were Palestinian. That was the Palestinian dynasty. When the war broke out, it is rumored that the Palestinians transferred their money out of the country before the invasion, because they knew Saddam was coming. So when the Kuwaitis lost their country, and then they had to go around and buy it back with the support of the United States, as soon as the Kuwaitis came back into power, you think about it, if you lose your country, when Saddam came in, the first thing that went down the drain was the Kuwaiti money. The money was worthless because Saddam had the printing press. And the banks had to immediately issue new currency. Now, if you were sitting with $2 million in old Kuwaiti dinars, they are worthless. So what happens to that money? It's been your life savings. Well, if you're a Kuwaiti, and, of course, they were told it's worthless, so the Kuwaitis were selling it cheap and giving it away. And guys had rooms full of old Kuwaiti dinars. And when the government reestablished itself and got stable, they bought back the old Kuwaiti dinars. It was a home run for, if you were there, you could have scored big. I didn't. I didn't score big. I wasn't Kuwaiti. And they have a price for Americans, too. So let's see what this is saying here. And in Iraq, they even had a funnier one. We changed the $100 bill. You know that we changed it because, the Syrians and the Iranians were counterfeiting $100 bills. And so we changed the $100 bill. And you just, you had to, they were taking them out of circulation and you were getting new $100 bills. Saddam told his people that the Americans
were making the old $100 bills valueless and to convert them into Iraqi dinars. So the people that panicked, they turned them into Iraqi dinars. Saddam owned the bank, so he picked up the old currency, which was still good currency. Let's see here. Over the past week, oil output from Libya has reportedly fallen below 100,000 barrels per day, costing the country $150 million daily in lost oil revenues. Ras Lanuf refinery has closed due to lack of supply, and Libya must now import diesel and fuel oil to keep the power plants operating. Meanwhile, the protests have spread to the west, and the militias retain their control on most of the country. Our problem for the government in flexing its muscle is that it doesn't have much muscle to flex. So, see that? These are little incidents, and the price of oil keeps going up. All Al-Qaeda has to do is blow up a Ras Tanura in Saudi Arabia, you'll be paying $8 a gallon for gas. So, why don't we drill for our own oil? Because the Islamo-Camo has scheduled us for extinction. Financial and physical extinction. This president is not an American. And that's why he's going to get impeached, because people are going to wake up and realize he is not an American. The only thing American about him is his golf pants. And you don't believe that? Well, let me tell you something. Go to YouTube and Google in YouTube flag burners of record and see how many of your fellow Americans voted to burn the flag. And they're all Democrats. The Democrat Party is now the Communist Party of the USA. The Republican Party is now the Democrat Party. And then the only other holdouts are independents and Tea Party people. So we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. And financially, one day we will all be in trouble. And wait till you find out that your government is going to borrow against your 401k. They're going to put up your 401k as collateral for a loan. It's terrible, man. Absolutely terrible. Okay, let me give you another tune. And, this one you'll like. It's French Arabic. And you can see the belly dancer in your mind. Oh,
petite fille sans histoire et très sage, mais elle est pas née comme toi ici.
You know, Beirut used to be called the Paris of the Middle East. And you see what the savages did to it, right? Seventh century mentality, man. The Boubian, the statues, the Buddhist statues in Boubian, they destroyed them. Seventh century mentality. Russia may send lawmakers to lobby Congress. Russian President Vladimir Putin hopes to send Russian lawmakers to lobby Congress against the strike against Syria. According to a report by the Interfax news agency, Putin has signaled his support for a proposal made by two Russian lawmakers. Yeah. Now, you know that when those Russian lawmakers come to lobby Congress, you know they have change of $100, right? Yeah. You got change of a 20? Yeah. ICE union head calls for congressional investigations into administration's ICE policies. In other words, the union head is saying they're killing us. Obama faced renewed international opposition on Syria. Hey, his coalition of the willing was France. And I think France got scared because they thought Obama was going to attack Paris for kidnapping Helen of Troy. Yeah. A Vermont reactor closing signals death knell for aging nukes. What replaces them? Matches. New York City, Mayor Bloomberg's anti-gun group rally falls flat as NRA takes over, shoots the mayor. Revolution! Alan West calls Obama out on Syria, Benghazi. Obama has a history of voting present. He does. You know, there was one politician who had a record. He never voted on anything. And he was Dick Gephardt. He never voted on anything, man. It was unbelievable. Yeah, you can vote for Dick. He's our man. DEA accuses Americans' phone records. DEA accesses Americans' phone records dating back to... I got to tell you something. If you want to buy an illegal gun, all you got to do is make a drug buy and ask the guy to throw in a gun. That's it. All gun dealers, all of the drug dealers sell guns. So if Mayor Bloomberg really wants to do a double cleanup, that's the way to do it. And I got to tell you, I'm not opposed to NASA looking at my phone number. I don't care. You know, these liberals will tell you they don't want, that's a violation of their American civil rights. But you know what? You know what's also a violation of your American civil rights? An invasion by a country we didn't know was coming because we weren't listening to the phone conversations. Listen all you want, boys. Concentrate on the 1.3 million gang members, the 33,000 gangs. Concentrate on all of the Al-Qaeda inside the USA. Oh, we're not going to do anything to anybody that's inside the USA. It's only outside. There was a football Super Bowl one year. And while they were panning the crowd, the announcer said that the FBI has panned the entire Super Bowl and using face recognition is comparing it to its files of known criminals in Washington, D.C. And I said, that's great. All the liberals, that's a violation. That's a violation. How are we going to help the criminals get away? Yeah, let me tell you. If you had a daughter sitting in that stadium and sitting behind her was a guy who's a known rapist and murderer, and you got a phone call, Mr. So-and-so, your daughter's sitting in front of Charlie the Axeman, and we're going to, not to worry, we're going to get him right now. We're going to take him out of the picture. Well, thank you very much. You think he's going to say, "Well, you didn't violate his rights, did you?" Unbelievable. Heartache. Unions are still really, really frustrated with Obamacare. They say 40,000 longshoremen dropped out of the ACLU this week because of their opposition to Obamacare. Longshoremen used to be the pride of America, and I believe they still are in their hearts. And they are more American than most Americans. Teddy Gleason, who once was the head of the Longshoremen's Union, refused to unload any cargo ship coming from a communist country. And one day, we may have to do that again for our own protection, starting with China. So, Kerry, climate change, irrefutable. You know what causes global warming, John? A nuke. Nukes going off from Iran, and they miss Israel and take out Palestine. Yeah, that's going to cause global warming. And Bolton says, that's Bolton, used to be the former ambassador. Bush, let me tell you, Bush had a better team than this guy has. This guy has like a Disney World team. Obama, weakest president since Buchanan. Kerry should resign as a matter of principle. Yeah, Hanoi John, Hanoi Jane. How sad, huh? How sad our country is run by communists. And you don't have to be poor, you know. When you see communists, you see the 1917 pre-Bolshevik revolution where the guy is trying to fight another guy over one potato. No, we have Grey Poupon communists. They think that when communism takes over, that they're going to be the exception. They'll be allowed to keep their money because they've been good little communists. And I worry about guys that grow beards to look more like Iranians than Americans. What are they afraid of, that they want to blend in when we get taken over? 1% of the nation is, less than 1% of the nation is all that defends it. Less than 1% of the nation. And you better pray that you don't cry like some people are going to cry.
Oh.